The Luma Cigar Cartel presents Beyond the Humidor, a cigar podcast for the rest of us. Well, all right. Welcome, everybody, for the latest rendition of Beyond the Humidor. Scott Robinson with you on a nice, beautiful Northern California morning. And just want to start off with saying thank you for joining us as we explore cigars and talk about other things beyond the humidor. We have a very special guest today, and we're about to get into that right now. But first things first, what we're drinking and what we're smoking, I'll start this off. I myself am smoking an Ashton Virgin Sun Grown. Paired that up with some Glendronach 12 Year. Yeah, I know it's morning, but I'm the resident alcoholic. So, without further ado, before we go around with the this is and that, what everybody's smoking and drinking, I want to give a very warm Beyond the Humidor welcome to CEO and owner of Kamalu Cigars, Anthony Washington. How are you doing there, Anthony?
I'm doing well, thank you, sir. How are you today?
Outstanding, outstanding. Now, what are you drinking on this lovely morning?
I am drinking Driftless Glen Bourbon Whiskey.
All right. That sounds real good. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that.
Yes, very good.
All right.
Yes.
And what are you smoking, my friend?
I am smoking a Daphnian Rubina Yamasa. Basically, it's a Daphnian Rubina made with a Yamasa tobacco from the Yamasa region.
Okay. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I like that. Davidoff does a Yamasa leaf as well.
Yeah, we shared a farm, Daphne, and we shared that Villa Gonzalez area and a lot of the farmland in the Dominican Republic with Davidoff.
Oh, outstanding, outstanding.
Oh, cool.
All right, well, let me go around the room and see what everybody's up to. Lewis, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm having a blast already this morning. My day started a little bit earlier than I wanted it to, because I was up to 3:30 last night binge watching something on Netflix. If you can imagine what that's like.
Was it Tiger King?
No way.
Thank you,
I'm not
Lewis.
Joining that club, man.
Carol Baskins.
No.
Carol Baskins.
She did it. Nah. She did it, man. She did it.
Can't go down that street. But I already have my coffee and my first cigar, but I'm smoking a Island Gem San Andreas right now and drinking water.
Fantastic.
All right, Greg, what are you drinking and smoking?
Well, first of all, welcome Anthony to the program.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Today's is one that Craig gave me last night. It's an Insignia by Tony Barani. So I'll get there at the end. And drinking after a couple of mimosas with breakfast this morning, it's just water.
See, now I feel like bad. I feel like the resident drunk, because usually every show I'm drinking something, no matter what time of day it is. It's kind of sad.
Hey, Scott, yeah. We're going to get you a patch.
Quitters, don't quit.
There you go. Yeah, the only coin I've got is my Harley Davidson Challenge coin.
I got my victory challenge going.
There you go.
Anthony, he's another motorcycle rider.
Yeah.
All right, let's take it around the room a little bit here. I don't want to ignore anybody. Bob, how you doing?
I am well this morning. I am smoking a Cohiba Siglo 1, and being a bit of a teetotaler this morning too, Scott, I've got a date with a bottle of sake tonight. So they have
100 counts and
the 50 counts. That's right. What I got going on today.
Good stuff.
Yeah, these are all 50s.
And, and we have Craig, two, what are you? Craig, what are you smoking?
This is Macassar.
Craig looks frozen.
Yeah, I think Craig's frozen. Let's just hop over to Sarah. Yeah. Sarah, how you doing?
So I'm making up for all y'all who aren't drinking. With all of the craziness that happens, I left my house quickly and without any cigars. But I have a nice coffee in hand. So that
two.
Okay. Very, very nice. Like that one. And Craig, are you unfrozen yet? We may have to get to Craig because he's still frozen.
There he goes.
Oh, there you go. Craig, so what are you drinking and what are you smoking?
I'm not drinking anything because, you know, when I drink alone, it makes me an alcoholic. Anyways, I'm smoking the Limitada by Cuba Rica, one of Steve Adib's creations. It's a real nice Ecuadorian Habano. I couldn't tell you what the wrapper and binder are because, you know, he's very secretive about everything.
Of course.
Really full, delicious cigar. But they don't exist anymore because it was a one-time run and I sold all we had. And this is my last one.
All right. Bob, I did get to you, of course. So I think I went around the table. Let's go ahead and get to our guest, Anthony. Now, you are the owner and CEO of Kamalu Cigars, one of your own creation. And I think for a lot of cigar smokers, you know, the dream, of course, if you're beyond a casual smoker and you consider yourself an aficionado, the dream is to run your own brand, if you will, and you've made that dream come true. So what I want to hear from you is, you know, how did you get started? You know, first of all, because as I've said before, I don't care who you are, if you're Rocky Patel or you're just lowly me, you had your first cigar adventure. So tell me about your first cigar adventure, your first time delving into the world that we call cigars.
Need an Anaconda.
Well, how I got started, basically, probably the last 10 years, you know, I would smoke off and on. And then about 3 years ago, I was at a luncheon and I ended up meeting Muhammad, who's the owner of a Little Havana Cigar Club in McLean, Virginia, where I am right now. This is my home away from home.
Okay.
And we had a chance meeting, and he invited me to come out to his lounge, and I went out to his lounge, and he showed me a lot of love, a lot of hospitality, introduced me to a few cigars. And one of the cigars was Daphnian. And that particular day, David Daphnian was at the lounge doing a cut and light event there. And I got a chance to talk with him and shot around a couple of ideas, and the rest was history. He asked me to be his brand ambassador on the spot that day. And my cigar IQ wasn't really that high, but I'm always up for a challenge. So I said, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And so about 8 months into being his brand ambassador, I just had a dream about my own cigar, my own blend. And I went to him, and he said, hey, look, I'll do it for you. Let's go into business together. And the rest is history.
All right. That's sensational. And from what I understand, Daphnian, they were big in Europe before the U.S. around. I think they got introduced to the U.S. around 2017.
You're about 17, 18, yes.
Okay. And Daphnian family is about three generations of cigar creators and purveyors. Okay.
Yes. Okay. It's a very, very big company in Europe. Yep.
Okay. Where are they based out of?
Villa Gonzalez, Dominican Republic.
Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of good leaves come out of the Dominican Republic. Sure. That is great. So, so you started this partnership, you know, talk about some of the pitfalls maybe you fell into or, you know, how, you know, because, I mean, it happens, and, you know, it's like, if you're going to climb, you're going to slip a little bit ever so often, but as long as, you know, you keep climbing and going upward, you know, tell our listeners about that a little bit.
Well, some of the pitfalls basically were, one, you know, you're a no name, you know, you're coming out on the scene. But the good thing about it is that I had Daphnian behind me, which was a bigger name, maybe not so big in the United States, but those aficionados, especially coming from Europe, they were familiar with the Daphnian name. And then also kind of like you're constantly being challenged as a new kid on the block. You know, they want to know, you know, do you know this about tobacco? You know, do you know how to grow it? Do you know all the leaves? I mean, things that to me were, you know, so what, so to speak, but people get really technical with you when you first, you know, come out. You know, I guess it's their way of kind of trying to weed you out. But I became a student of the game and learned what I learned and became a student of social media, was able to get the brand out there, and now I got an incredible buzz going, man. It's overwhelming, it's very exciting, and I'm just having a great time.
That's sensational. Okay. Now, I know right now you're kind of based on the East Coast. Any plans on expanding a little bit? Because we're out here in California. You did, by the way, sent us a sample of your cigars. I had the Dafty and the larger one, the larger ring gauge and length. Uh-huh. And, you know, I found it to be a great cigar. It was a very light hint of spice, but real light when it goes to, you know, of course, when you start getting into bigger ring gauges and length, you're not really so much flavor, but smoothness is what you're looking for. You know, I would love to smoke one of yours, like in a Robusto or something in a smaller ring cage to really get the essence. Coming. All right.
It's on its way.
Excellent.
It's on its way. Definitely is on the way. Well, you know, with everything that's been going on, I'm kind of on a slowdown right now. Matter of fact, I'm completely sold out. There's not a Daphne in the country right now.
Wow.
I'm excited about that, and I'm upset about that too, because I can't get any more product in, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, I don't want to dominate the questions. I want to take it around to everybody. If you've got questions for Anthony, please, you know, jump on in.
Is he here? Yeah, he's fine. I'm ready.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's on radio silent. What happened?
Yeah, everybody got silent like a pin drop, man.
Well, he kind of answered my question for him, which is, you know, just an off the wall question for you, Anthony, because it's something that has been curious to me with many of the people we talk to. Do you, when you're looking at discussing with the blenders on how you're blending your cigars, is there any magical secret? I mean, is it just trial and error? How does that work?
Trial and error. So one of my absolute favorite cigars was the Andalusian Bull.
That's kind of
where my palate was. So when I had the dream about the cigar, you know, I could almost like taste. It was a very vivid dream. I could almost taste the cigar, and you know, it was very enjoyable. So when I got with David and the blenders, it was just a matter of getting the right taste. It took me about 7 or 8 times to actually get the cigar taste that I wanted. And then we were fortunate enough, being in Villa Gonzalez, that Davidoff's general manager of 20 years wrote my final version for me, sent it to me, and I just fell in love with it.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that amazes a lot of people. That, yes, I'm sorry. That was what I was saying, that it amazes a lot of people that first time out being able to connect with such a larger name like Davidoff and had the support and the help from them. But it's because of my relationship with David Dafty and who had already had that friendship with them that we were able to get this project going. And we were able to get rollers from Davidoff to roll the Kamalu. So it's made with seven different leaves, which is one of the things that Davidoff does. Very few people do a premium cigar with 7 leaves, but the Kamalu, the Giant, has 7 leaves, a wrapper binder and 5 leaves for the filler.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
Now tell me, what was the taste you were looking for?
Huh. So I like a flavorful cigar that's smooth. I don't like a cigar that's overpowering.
Okay.
Something that I can smoke maybe 2 or 3 of them and still feel pretty good. I never liked smoking a cigar that was so bitter that you find yourself doing a lot of spitting. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want anything that, you know, I was going to be spitting and you know, hacking and being dizzy. I just wanted something really smooth, really comfortable that would put me exactly where I needed to be.
Okay. And I didn't know.
You don't have any leather notes in your cigar then, right?
Well, there's some. There's some. I mean, it's very. What is made up mostly of the softer leaves, the sweeter leaves, and of course, you get, you know, a little bit from that binder, but out of the 5 leaves in the filler, probably 3 of them are a little sweeter. There's a more spicy leaf, and then probably like 1 stronger leaf that just gives it its flavor. But I just didn't want anything overpowering. Like I smoked the LFD Digger, and I thought I was gonna pass out.
That cigar will kill you, man.
Oh, yeah. You know, as a matter of fact, some years ago, Anthony, there was a contest at our local cigar lounge. It was how fast you could smoke an LFD chisel. And man, we had like, I think it was three or four brave. Oh, I'm sorry. It was a digger. And we had like maybe about three or four brave cats do it. I mean,
wow.
The person who won, I think, how long did they smoke that?
Yeah.
24 minutes.
22 minutes.
Yeah, you know what they did after they won the contest.
Lit up another one.
Probably went right to the bathroom.
No, lit up another one and kept going.
What?
Seriously. Woo.
Hey, I'm not there yet.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm not there either. I've smoked the digger once, and it was enough.
Yeah, I'm with Greg on that.
I don't think that's a rite of passage that everyone needs to be in.
No.
No, but
I
it
think
is
we
fun
need to do beyond the humidor digger competition. What do you think?
No,
I'm out.
Yep, I'm out.
Pass.
I'm good.
But you know, it's also one of those fun yet cruel jokes you can play on somebody when you go, "Hey, try this cigar out. Good luck."
I've done that to people before. Yeah, I've done that.
That and Candela's.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm with Greg. I like Candela's. I do too. I like the occasional Candela. Lose Your Own makes an awesome one.
Jeez. Nah, I'm out. I'm getting a headache just thinking about it. You know? Wow. Yeah, so you know, I stay in my lane. I like the Monte Cristo Classic series as well, and I like that Hemingway as well. So you see where my palate is. My palate is like medium, touching on full.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
Now I understand. But, yeah, go ahead, Luke.
I was gonna jump into something that I know that would speak to you, Scott, because I'm curious about this Driftless Glen.
there you go.
The Driftless Glen came about. I ended up meeting the vice president of distribution for Legacy Distribution. His name is Eric Hill, and me and Eric Hill, we started this great friendship, and he was doing the Driftless Glen, and we were drinking it and sampling it, and I was like, oh my God, what is this? I love it. And so we just started sampling everything and pairing the Kamala with it, and I just fell in love with the pairing of the bourbon whiskey. And also they have a rye whiskey, and the rye whiskey is very sweet. They use young rye leaves, so it doesn't have that bitter aftertaste like a lot of ryes do. And I just fell in love with it, and then I just came over the idea, hey, look, let's just market this as a pair, you know. Yeah. So where Kamala is, Driftless Glen, where Driftless Kamala is. And the execs over at Driftless Glen thought it was a great idea. So I do probably 2 to 3 events a week in DC at different clubs, lounges, and restaurants. And we bring the Driftless Glen in with us. And it's been a match made in heaven ever since.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that. How many events do you do? Because I was looking onto your website, and I saw you. It looks like you do quite a few events featuring your cigar and the Driftless Glen.
Yes. Okay. So when the season is right, usually my season for events is between April and October, because we do a lot of outside events. Usually, I probably do about 2 or 3 events a week. Which is a lot of fun, get people to come out, come to, and a lot of times it's lounges that only offer cigar smoking once a week. Uh-huh. And so I'll come out, like one of the ones we do now is the Rooftop DC. They have a state-of-the-art roof, like a $1 million rooftop. They can lower the walls and retract the ceiling. And I'm there every the first Wednesday of every month, and only on Wednesdays they allow cigar smoking. So that brings in a whole crowd, new smokers, and old smokers. It's really a great event.
Okay, I was just about to ask you about the first Wednesday because I saw that on your site. And that sounds like an incredible venue. Next time I'm out in D.C., I have to check it out.
Yeah, you got to come out, man. It's a great, great event. Okay. And it's also underneath of it is the Cloakroom, which is a high-end strip club as well. I never go down there. I stay up on the roof, though.
Come on now.
I stay up on the roof, man.
I hear that.
You end up giving away everything you make. I can't give away everything I make.
Yeah, there's that.
Come on now. Everybody smells like glitter and shame at some point in their life.
Oh wow!
No, hey, look, I got a whole I have a whole glitter coming home with glitter on me story that it was. It's amazing.
Oh, do share, man. Do share.
I told my wife I got attacked by a unicorn. Please share with us. I went to the club. Actually, a friend of mine owns the House nightclub in DC, which is a strip club in DC on George Avenue. So he was interested in getting the cigars there. So I was there talking to him, and he knew a few people, got a couple of hugs. So unbeknown to me, I came home smelling like Victoria's Secret's Heavenly and glitter on the. It had glitter on the side of my face. So my wife was like, I thought you had a cigar meeting. I said, I did have a cigar meeting. She said, well, where was the cigar meeting? And I told her, right? And she looked at me. I said, babe, I'm telling you, I didn't get any dances. I didn't do anything. I got attacked by a unicorn on the way home. That's why I got the glitter on me, right? And so, of course, she just side-eyed me. But that was the end of that. I can't do it, man.
No, I
can't do it. Yeah.
Yeah, night before I got married. Oh, go ahead.
No, I would say I think Victoria's Secret Heavenly is like the staple smell of all dancers. I mean, I couldn't get that smell out of my system, out of my clothes for probably a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, the night before I got married, I was in Vegas. We did a destination wedding in Vegas, and, you know, my bride-to-be was doing her thing. My cousins and my best friend take me out to a couple of strip clubs, and my wife didn't care because she knows how bored I get. It's like, you know, about 5 or 10 minutes in, you know, and then my cousins are sitting there buying me lap dances at the last place at 3 a.m. You know, first one, okay, yeah, this is fun. About the third one, I'm like this. It's like, oh, so you go to school? Now, where are you going to school? UNLV? Hey, yeah, we used to play UNLV. I mean, I'm having a conversation while she's sitting there shaking her booty. And we were having like a legitimate conversation. Like we're sitting at dinner or something. It's just like, oh, you're really sweet. It's like, wow. Okay, you take care. Hey, watch out for that class, you know, look up this book. I'm like, yeah, this is just sad. So my wife already knows. It's like if I say, hey honey, I'm going to the strip club, she's like, hey, you'll be back in half an hour.
Well, you know, I think what ruined it for me, having a friend that owns a strip club, and before I got married, I used to hang out with him a lot. So you see them before and you see them after, and you kind of lose the mystique of dancers when you know them personally and you involved on the see them on the business end of it. So you kind of lose the mystique of it. So it's not really a big deal for me anymore.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because when I was going to college, I knew a couple of strippers and I used to hear all the good stories. I'd sit back and drink with them and they'd tell me all the wacky stories, everything from the enthusiastic patron to the girls who are jealous of each other. I think two of the girls were roommates. Yeah. One got mad at the other, so she took all the clothes out of her closet and poured bleach all over them. And they're fighting in the middle of the courtyard of the apartment. Oh yeah, most definitely.
It's definitely a cutthroat business. Yep.
Hey Scott.
Yeah.
Scott.
Yep.
Bob's trying to get back in. You want to let him in?
Yeah. Let me take a look. I'm not seeing him.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. He's not here.
He's not at the door anymore.
Nope. Have him try it again. My bad.
Okay.
I don't have
to derail this conversation from booty and strippers.
Yeah, let's do that.
So,
Anthony, what was the first cigar you ever smoked? Tell us about that.
Oh, I'm embarrassed to tell you, bro.
Don't be. Man. We've all been there.
Than mine.
As long as it wasn't a Swisher Sweet, you're good.
Hey, man, it was just put it this way. It was a homogenized tobacco leaf.
Hey, man, is that a Dutch master?
Black and Miles.
Anthony, we've all been there.
And then for the Black and Miles, I went to the Al Capone's. Remember the Al Capone's?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought I was big time with the Al Capone's. And being a new cigar smoker or trying to break into the cigar, you know, smoking community, it can be a little intimidating sometimes.
Yeah.
Because, you walk in there, you really don't know. It just has to be a really special tobacco in this day. Actually, let's talk about it. Other than that, you go in and you say, hey, I want a cigar. And they start rattling off these names. And you're looking at them like, I don't know what you're talking about. And you automatically feel intimidated, especially for a guy, because you want to walk into a cigar lounge and act like you know what you're doing. So yeah. You know, I stuck to 7-Eleven, my Black and Miles and my Al Capone for a while until I realized some of my friends, they were heavy into the cigar business. And we went out a couple of times. And again, I didn't really fall in love with cigars until about 3 years ago. And isn't that crazy?
Yeah, no, it makes sense, man. I mean, it takes a while to build that palate. Yeah. And also to understand, at least for me, how much it's going to cost you to buy cigars that you like all the time.
You know? Sure.
And especially since, you know, I go anywhere from smoking 3 to 5 cigars a day. And if I don't keep it at a certain price point, I'm smoking about $100 a day.
Right. Yeah. Well, before I got, you know, my own cigars, and I tried not to smoke up all my profit, but I would come out here to Little Havana Cigar Town in McLean, and Muhammad has some great house blends. You know, you can get a good house blend for a decent price. So, you know, you load up on some house blends and then you get a couple power cigars or super cigars, whatever they call them, you know, mix into your humidor, and you call yourself smoking them on special occasions. But the good thing about being a part of a cigar community and a cigar lounge like Little Havana, you know, people are here all the time and someone's always buying a box and give you one. I mean, I probably got 2 or 3 high name Avos in my humidor that I haven't even smoked yet that people have given to me. Okay. So it's a great thing being a member of a club like this. So you get a chance to smoke a lot of different cigars and stuff you wouldn't normally buy. So it's been interesting now. I'm in love with it now.
Well, that's something that we do, too, just as a group of friends, and we get together, and we've talked about this a number of times, is how, you know, we'll just share cigars and say, hey, man, I think I know your palate. Try this.
Sure.
And, you know, and it's a good introduction. It's like if you see a friend that's only smoking, you know, 2 or 3 different types of cigars and you want to stretch them out a little bit, you know, you handle a little something and say, hey, man, I want you to smoke this.
Yep, and exactly. Well, you know, it's kind of funny because I had to tell people, you know, I smoke everything. I don't just smoke, you know, the Daphne line, including the Kamala. I smoke everything at home, you know, in public. Yeah. I try to smoke my own stuff in public because I want people to see me enjoying my own cigars. But what I would tell people also, if you're just starting a business, man, you're going to give away so many cigars that it's not even funny. Man, I've given away so many cigars just to get people interested in the cigars, you know, in the beginning. You know, kind of hurt, you know, but, you know, you learn the business. So just to give you a little background, you know, I retired from the D.C. Police Department this August. So I've been a police officer for 28 years.
Right on. And,
being born and raised here in D.C., I was always taught, you know, go to school, get an education, work for the government and retire. Yeah. So I didn't really have an entrepreneurial drive until a few years ago when I met some great guys up here at Little Havana Cigar Town. Uh-huh. And, so with that, you know, you learn in the business and you always hear people say stuff like, you know, when you start a business, you know, you got to expect the loss like the first 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And without having that business sense initially, you don't really understand what they mean by loss. You know, for me, I'm thinking not only am I not going to make any money, I'm going to lose money that I already have, you know, but, you know, you quickly learn that the loss is basically, you know, the money you put into the business, you end up spending it back into the business, which is you generating a loss within the business money, not your personal money.
Right.
So I know the first year I probably gave out about 1,000 cigars at cost. So 1,000 cigars at cost. I mean, that's a lot of cigars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's product marketing. Right. And so, you know, where I grew up, you know, there was an old saying, you know, and it holds truth in a lot of different places for a lot of different people. It's like, it takes money to make money. And so, yeah, you give out a lot of samples and hopefully you get 10% of that back from the people that you gave samples to and say, oh, man, I like this. Or they tell somebody else. But, you know, if you don't know what's offered to you that is available, how do you even get involved in buying that product? It's like, a lot of marketing companies do that now. You go to you know, big box stores and they have samples of stuff. Why? Because they want to get your interest in buying that product.
Exactly. But then you learn quickly, you know, after the first year, you learn who to send samples to and who not to. So in the beginning, you know, you sending out cigars and people just want the cigars, you know. So like now I still get people, you know, hit me up. Hey, yo, send me a sample. I was like, man, the sample is $11. You know?
Yeah. Right.
You know, because, I mean, they just want free cigars. I mean, because they figure you got a cigar company. You got endless cigars that you're not paying for, and that's not true, you know?
Nah.
Yeah.
So now I've learned to be very selective who I send the cigars to and look at the overall benefit of me sending them the samples before I just send them. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Nah, I do. And I saw your response to one of those, too, and then you're right. I saw the guy like, hey, man, I'm looking for one of those. He's like, yeah, sample's $11, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, It happens all the time. Yeah. And I don't know if that's a black owned business thing or if that's just a business thing, you know, all around. And I tell people all the time, I say, you know, you don't hit up Rocky Patel and say, yo, send me a sample cigar. You don't do that to him, you know, so why are you doing it to me, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, it probably transcends over all races, but you know, from the black perspective, yeah, we always looking for the hookup.
Oh yeah.
Now look, man, I'm down with the hookup. You know, I'll give you a discount all day long. You know, I don't mind because I really want you to smoke it. I want you to enjoy it, and I want you to tell other people about it. So you know, if you know you come to me and be like, yo, hey, let me buy 3 or 4 cigars. You know, if I'm in a certain time of the month where I have, you know, enough samples allocated, I'll throw you, you know, 2 more, you know, or discount you, you know, 20% off the box or whatever it is that I can do for you. But yeah. it's just the regular everyday people. Hey, let me get a cigar. And there's no return on giving them the cigar.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. That's like one of the things that I did. And I really sincerely appreciate that you did it because I wasn't looking for it. But when you sent that sample out to us. Yeah, you know, I said, okay, guys, we got to smoke this and we got to talk about it and we got to get them on the air, which now we have you on the air. And you've seen it.
Yeah.
Stuff, you know, on social media, and I've been telling folks about it, spreading the word. Because, like, you know what? I want to help this brother build his business. He did me a solid.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that.
Some samples, and we like the product, man. And we just want to keep pushing it.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
let me just clarify. I will send a couple of samples out, but I'm just selective of who I send it out. Yeah.
Oh no,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not a Grinch. I'm not a Grinch.
No, but you still have to look at your bottom line, though. It ain't even about being a Grinch. I want to like connect with you and buy like a few of the other varieties. Literally buy because you were gracious enough to give us a sample. But do you do any direct mail ordering at all? Where I can, you know, or we just do a little something.
That's what I've been doing, man.
Okay.
I've been doing direct mail orders. I just have people, you know, message me and we'll communicate over Messenger, and they'll send the money, and I'll send it to their priority.
All right.
Now everything I send out is in sealed bags with a humidor pack in it, you know, to make sure, you know, stays fresh the entire journey.
Yeah, cool. Beautiful. Because I'd like to try a couple more from your line as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So hopefully they'll lift this quarantine and we can get some international shipments in, man. It's rough right now, man. It's really rough.
Oh yeah.
Well, you guys need a West Coast representative, man, because we got a tobacconist. We might be able to talk him into carrying your line, but you need a West Coast rep.
All right, let's make it happen.
Yeah, let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Am I listening to a job interview right now, Lewis?
Absolutely.
Hey, it works for me. I like that.
Out there.
And you never know, me and David Daphne hop on the plane and come on out there, man.
Hey, now that would be a blast. With you guys.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's why I can't wait till I retire, man. It just open up more time and more energy that I can put into the business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh yeah.
Nah, man, that's a sensational story of, you know, coming up, you know, building your own cigar line. And it's real impressive with the fact that you're about, you'd say, a 3-year cigar smoker, and you just hopped out of the gate and you put out a tobacco line. I mean, there's cats who have been smoking cigars for 30 to 60 years who don't get that opportunity to experience, you know, opening up a cigar line, becoming an ambassador to their own brand. You know, that's
I'm definitely humble about it, man. But you know what I mean? It was just it was fate, blessing, however you want to, you know, call it. It's just the opportunity was there. I recognized it, and I just took a leap of faith, man, and just went for it.
Oh yeah.
Hey, you know? No, that's a good thing. Hey, Scott, you just put me on the spot, man. I smoking cigars for like 40 years.
I was actually going to add in, you know, and most of them are sitting on this podcast.
Hey, I ain't that old.
Well, do we want to talk about a bike?
Hey, go ahead.
It's not over until it's over, man. So, that's right. You know, there's still opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah, it's there. Definitely, man. Definitely. You know, but, you know, it's just, you know, I've always put, you know, 100% in anything I do. So once I decided I was going to do this, I was just all in. So, I mean, it was almost like a 24-hour thing. I mean, I can remember nights getting an hour, 2 hours of sleep because I was just constantly thinking about what I was going to do, what the next move was.
Yeah.
So I mean, but I've always been driven like that. And you know how it's hard to explain, but I knew I've always had like the entrepreneur bug in me.
Yeah.
But it's always been kind of dormant. It's been dormant because I live in the area where, you know, big government rules everything, and that's the stable check, the insurance, and everything.
Yeah.
But and then, you know, my grandmother, up until she passed away, man, would keep money under the bed. You know what I mean? She didn't go to banks. She didn't invest or anything. She would just keep money under the bed. So that's the kind of world I grew up in. You know, you don't take chances with money. You save every dime you have.
Yeah.
And you work for the government and get that steady check. So just something happened, man. I'm just like, you know what? I need more. I want more. I feel like there is more. So let's just do it.
No, it was time. Yep. And, you know, one of the things, too, that, you know, because, you know, most of us do travel. Bob actually travels a little bit more than the rest of us. But we do travel. And you know, my son is about to come back. He's in the Air Force, and he's about to retire in about 14 months.
Okay.
And I think his last duty station is going to be back in Washington. And, I would love to come out to the shop, man, and sit down with you, chop it up, and
please just
smoke and have a good time. Yeah.
And we got something in common, man. My oldest son was in the Air Force for 6 years, and he's in Houston now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm surprised, man. He makes my son makes me feel my age now because he's like, yeah, Dad, I'm getting ready to retire. I'm like... You'll be 38, 39 years old. What are you talking about?
Well, he just had to do 20 years active duty, right?
That's it. He's got his 20 and he's getting out.
Wow. Good for him, man.
Yeah, I'm proud of him, man. He went in and he did his thing. And I tried to get him out here in California, but they didn't have an assignment for him out here. So he said, Dad, I think I'm going to wind up back in D.C. because he was in D.C. before. And I said, all right, well, you go to D.C., I'll come out there. That's not a problem.
Yeah, and definitely put us in touch. He's probably going to be at Bowling or Andrews.
Andrews.
Oh, yeah. Please put him in touch, man. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely put him in touch.
Yeah, I broke him in, too. He smokes cigars.
Some of the clubs in D.C.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, Anthony, I wanted to ask you, what is the basis behind the name of your company?
Say again.
What's the name of the company? Kamalu Cigars. Where does it come from?
Kamalu, Kamalu Cigars. So about 7 years ago now, my family did African ancestry, found out that we were 90% Nigerian, and I did more research. I mean, I was just really intrigued by it, and I automatically felt the connection when we got the results. So I did more research and found out that we were specifically from the Igbo tribe. I tried to find, you know, the exact family within Igbo, but was unable to. So I wanted a name, so I researched the names and I found Kamalu, which means God of Thunder in Igbo. So a mythological person in Igbo history was the Kamalu's God of Thunder. He was a man depicted with ram horns. So my logo is a lion with ram horns because I'm a Leo. So that's where I got that logo from.
That's fantastic.
That's how I came up. Yeah, that's how I came up with the Kamalu. Yep. Yeah.
Thank you. That's
Nigerian.
That's a great story.
I like that. That's a good story. And I like the band, man. Like I mentioned to you in an email, that needs to be a crest, a badge or something,
yes,
man. That crest,
man. So what happened with that, believe it or not, one of my business mentors, his name is Sailor Singh, man. Sailor is an amazing guy, man. He's he's like a computer guru. He's like one of five people that can do what he does as far as computers is concerned. Yeah. And so I again, not knowing business, just being new, I knew I wanted a logo and a cigar band. I didn't even know where to start. And so he said, hey, look, check out this website called 99 Designs. And so I went on 99 Designs and basically, you know, paid the fee and told him, you know, what I want, how I wanted to look. And I ended up forming a relationship with one of the artists. And we just kept going back and forth. And so eventually, you know, we came up with this logo together. And 3 years ago, I didn't know what the hell a vector file was. If you asked me about a vector file, I'd be like, yeah, that's some Star Trek shit, you know? So I was able to get that vector file. And then we sent it to the cigar label maker in Dominican Republic. And he loved it. And then, you know, you have to pay to have plates etched. So the Kamalu is a premium cigar through and through. So it's not a Xerox copy label. It's a premium foil stamp label. You know, I had plates etched, so they stamp them. They actually stamp them. They don't photocopy them. Okay. And you know, the rest is history. You know, I just wanted a premium cigar all the way through. Yeah. And I wanted a decent price. You know, my thing was I didn't want to be a black-owned business with high prices and kind of questionable quality. I wanted to do high quality with decent prices. That was my goal, and I think I've achieved that.
You have, man. Yeah. Yes. You have.
Yep. Well, you and I have something in common. My ancestry is 70% African, and most of it is Nigerian. So, got a little something in common there.
I take it the other 30% is Scotch.
I'm going to assume you said Scottish.
Scotch, not Scottish. Scotch.
Yeah, pretty much.
Glenlivet. Yeah.
Hey, the other 30% is British, Welsh, and a little bit of Irish. So yeah.
I mean, you know what the funny part about the cigar business too, man, is so like that same question though, if that was me, I would say my other 10% would have been Hennessy. So here's the story. So you know, growing up, you know, and starting, I didn't drink till I was 25. So you know, Hennessy, Cavassier, I mean, that's what we were drinking. You know.
Yeah.
But getting into cigar business, man, my palate for spirits has completely changed. Like, I can't stand the taste of Hennessy anymore unless it's like Hennessy XO or the private batch stock that they make. Like, I mean, my palate is even refined with spirits, man, just from tasting all the different type of spirits that's out there. And you realize there's just as many blends as there are cigars, man. You get an opportunity to taste and pair, and it just takes your palate to another level. So now... Now I used to go in the liquor store and spend $25, $30, man. I think the cheapest bottle I buy now is probably $65 now because just the palate has just changed. And that's what, you know, cigars do that because, you know, it's like one goes with the other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
I would venture to say cigars, coffee, wine, beer, and spirits.
Actually, there is a beer that I will drink with my cigars, and those are the ones that are aged in the bourbon barrel. I think Boulevard does one. I think there's one called Dragon's Milk.
Love Dragon's Milk.
Wow.
yeah, I can smoke a cigar and drink Dragon's Milk. So the only beer I can drink it has to be bourbon barrel aged.
Absolutely.
But like regular beer, nah, not at all. But it was bourbon aged. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Cigars are all together. Like,
and then we have a couple of people that, you know, are more wine drinkers too that enjoy that.
Yep.
Because I know Greg.
Yeah.
He prefers wine over spirits.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they have one called Exodus. They got a rare wine called Exodus. That's aged in the bourbon barrel. Have you had that one?
No, I haven't, that's one to look at.
Yeah, Exodus. Yep. It's spelled just like it sounds, Exodus.
Okay.
You have to put that on the list and try it out.
It's Exitus. Exitus.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good.
I have to make a trip to Total Wine.
Sounds like a plan.
Yep, there you go.
See, I already made a trip to Total Wine about 2 weeks ago, and you saw what my basket looked like.
Yeah,
drunk.
Yes, I did.
Oh yeah, because I ran into you there.
I just find that anything with bourbon or whiskey just brings in the cigars beautifully. I mean, sometimes you almost get a great sweet flavor. And I know that's, you know, a lot with the cigars, premium cigars, they go through the fermentation period. And yeah. during that fermentation, the starch in the leaves, you know, becomes sugar.
Yeah.
And that's how you end up getting those sweet notes. And I found that the bourbon, it kind of accentuates those sweet notes in the cigar, especially the Kamalu.
Yeah. Yeah,
I sound like a cigar nerd. I sound like a nerd.
You're good, man.
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
That's right.
I told you I didn't want to be all technical, but that it's just some things you know.
Hey, we just brought it out of you, man.
Yeah, you just fall into the rabbit hole, man. That's what happens.
I did. Look, and I heard myself as I was talking. I was like, man, I went nerd on you. I'm sorry.
Nah, that sounded perfect, man. But, you know, A lot of what I have when I'm smoking a cigar is, you know, primarily I'll have a cognac, and I've done a lot of single malts. I just love the flavor of the single malt.
Yeah.
But I like a good bourbon as mm-hmm. well. But you know, if I'm gonna do my first pour,
sure.
it's gotta be a single malt. And okay. one of the brands that I turned the group onto. And it's been taken off. It had nothing to do with me. I just seen that a lot of people are buying it as Monkey Shoulder.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Oh, yeah. That Monkey Shoulder's everything, bro. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cool, man. You talking my language now, man. Shit. Monkey Shoulder? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of suspected yeah. Lou like you to know, be robed up, and he's sitting there giving the gospel a Monkey Shoulder.
Yeah, the Jefferson Ocean.
Yeah. 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 That's good stuff. Yep. Jefferson Ocean, Booker's is another one that's good.
Wow. Yeah. Angel Envy, all that.
Oh, Angel Envy. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I won't mm-hmm. comment on when I started drinking, oh, but yeah. like you, my drinking has evolved a little bit.
Yo, that Angel Envy, yeah, that's nice too. And of course, yeah. you know, Macallan's and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the drip, huh?
No, I was just agreeing with you. You know, there's the Macallan, the Glenlivet, the Glenfiddich, and all that. But there's some other stuff out there, man, that either is on point with them or a little bit better, depending on your palate.
Glendronach, Brichlotti.
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely something else.
Well, you got to add that Driftless Glen to the list.
Yes, I plan to, man. Yeah. I plan to. I don't know. Is that exclusively East Coast? Because I don't think I found it on the West Coast yet.
I think I'm losing you guys.
Okay, hold on. Can you hear us now? Give it a second.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to they're based out of Milwaukee. I'm going. Yeah, that's better. Yeah, Driftless is based out of Milwaukee, so I'm going to talk to them. Actually, they're supposed to have a national meeting here in D.C. in May. Well, I don't know if they're going to do that, but I'll definitely find out what their plans as far as expanding to California is.
Oh, that's okay. Great. Well, let me tell you, you have been a sensational guest, but I invite you to stay with us and talk about a few more topics if you wouldn't mind. Did I lose you there, Anthony?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay, I was going to say, you want to stay aboard for a little bit, and we're going to talk about a couple other topics before we let go. So we'd love for you to stay aboard.
Cool. Well, I got to show you I'm in the magazine, too.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
So this right here is ProView magazine with Doc Walker.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a two-page ad now. I don't know if you can see that
yeah.
or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, and this is Doc Walker's ProView, man. I mean, we've been real busy, man.
Yeah, man.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Good stuff. All right.
And thanks for hanging on to hang out with us, man, because you know, I'm sure you're gonna get some mileage out of the topics that we got.
Oh yeah.
Sure, no problem.
All right. So
I think some of my buddies is biting at the chump to come jump on me and interfere with this Zoom too. I keep doing the foot like get away.
All right now.
Oh man.
Anthony, I'll put it out there. If they got something to add to what we're talking about, we're having a conversation.
Yeah, more than welcome. More than welcome.
I have
All right,
Scott, take it away.
All right, well, let's jump into it. Let's talk about a little something that happens, you know, when you're smoking your cigars, particularly canoeing and tunneling. I wanted to see what everybody's views were on that. You know, we spoke a little bit about canoeing last episode. We didn't really get into tunneling. But, you know, some of the causes of tunneling, or one in particular, is when the wrapper is a little looser than the leaf and you've got that air pocket in there creating a tunnel into the foot of your cigar and beyond that towards what you're smoking. So just want to talk a little bit about it and talk about everyone's experiences, what they've done to avoid that. You know, it's more of a, it's not really you.
Well, yes and no. I want to talk about real quick, and this is funny. This was an experience I had last night. So Craig forgot some stuff at the lounge last night, so we had to go pick it up. And we ended up sitting there smoking for a little bit, and he gave me a really wonderful new yardstick. And when I cut it, much to my dismay, I noticed I got a stem. So stupid me, I grabbed the stem and I pull. Well, guess what? I pulled out a freaking leaf. And so there was no tunnel for the first half of my cigar, but I created that tunnel because of my unintelligence in the second half of my cigar. It didn't change the flavor, but it sure weirded out the way it burned.
Mm-hmm.
So moral of that story, don't do that.
Scott, I think you said it's not you. It can be you. I think there are two other causes of tunneling. One is if you're smoking too slow, that you don't get the heat out of that filler into the binder and the wrapper.
Okay.
And so you get your burn just goes down the middle of your cigar. So that is another common cause of tunneling. I think another one, you know, I've really been exploring humidity issues lately in the humidor and done some reading, and it makes some sense that if you have, if your wrapper is more humid than your filler, you know, has not aged to the point of that filler so that it's kind of a harder burn issue, you can get tunneling from that as well. So I think that, you know, you do have a couple of causes there. Question is, what's the cure for it? And, you know, I've had a lot more canoes than I have tunnels. Fortunately, I haven't had a lot of either. Tunneling is one of those things that I think you just got to figure out whether you want to smoke that cigar or not. You can, you know, certainly use your lighter to burn the wrapper. Usually, in my experience, not something that is going to cure itself. Sometimes with tunneling or sometimes with canoeing, you can do that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Anthony. You get ready to say something.
Well, with premium cigars, I mean, the hallmark is consistency. But so when you, they're hand rolled cigars. And so, you know, when they're doing the bunch, you know, kind of when they bunch it, you want to get like an accordion type bunch. And sometimes with, you know, so handmade cigars can either be, you know, hand bunched, hand rolled, or they can be machine bunched, machine rolled. Machine bunch, hand rolled. So the machine will bunch them and then they roll them by hand. So sometimes with the machine bunch, you can get those pockets that cause that tunneling. It's just one of those things that happen. Now with the canoeing, what I found, sometimes people, they smoke them too fast or they don't light it properly. But what I carry, I got a single flame torch. I call it my cutting torch. So if I'm at a lounge doing an event, whether it's one of mine or not, I've been fortunate with the Kamalu. But if I see someone tunneling, I just take that single flame torch and I call it my cutting torch. And I just go right along the bottom of it. And it like almost burns it completely across. And leave, and the wrapper falls off, and they enjoy the smoke with a full ash.
Okay.
All right. There you go. That's a good tip for the listeners.
Oh, no doubt.
Oh yeah.
Now,
I haven't had too many canoeing and tunneling issues, but I noticed that, you know, the one time that I did have a tunneling issue some years ago, it was because of what we just mentioned about how you have those pockets in the cigar and it's loosely wrapped. It's like, this wasn't a good roll.
Well,
right. Yeah.
Lewis, I found, you know, canoeing, at least in my experience, has not been something that's been the result of a poor light. It's something that happens further on into the cigar. And again, it's a similar issue to what you described, Anthony, which is, in that case, you have your wrapper, which is separated from the rest of the cigar, and so you're just not getting the heat into that. Again, right. you fix it the same way, right? You're either going to throw that stick away, or you're going to try to burn it to make it consistent, and hope that it goes well from there.
Yeah. Now, my phone is about to die, guys. I'm on my cell phone. I don't know who's going to be zooming. So I keep getting the low battery indicator, and I don't want it to just go out and be rude like he just left.
No, that's fine, man. Appreciate you explaining that. Hey, listen, cool. Speaking for the group, yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on, man. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you, man. I enjoyed myself.
We don't want this to be the only time because, you know, it's a fun thing to do. And if you want to invite somebody else that can come on and join you, speak to what we're doing, we welcome that. But, you know, much success to you, man. You know,
thank you. Next time I'll be ready. I'll have my laptop plugged in.
All right.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
All right. We appreciate
you,
man. All right. Take care, Anthony.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, man.
All right.
Be well. Thanks,
Anthony.
So, next topic.
All right. Well, let's talk about, cigar rotation. Rotating cigars in your humidor. If you're lucky to have a big enough humidor, you know, with boxes and various loose ones, what are you guys as schools of thought on rotating your humidors? I know people who have never rotated and they're perfectly happy, but just knowing what I know, that one day on Amazon when I got like about four or five hydrometers and put them on different levels, and I'm looking at the slight unevenness of the humidification in different parts of the humidor, you know, I tend to find myself taking boxes out, putting them in another location, and just keeping them rotated. I'd love to hear you guys at school a thought on that.
Well, I, for myself, I don't rotate because my humidors are not that big. That may or may not be a problem, but I haven't seen too many issues. But mine are only 100 count units, so I'm not sure if that would make a difference.
Well, I think maybe not, just because you've got cigars on top of one another, and depending on, they're not paying me to say this, folks, but on Brovida packs, depending on where your Brovida pack is, I kind of like, you know, even in those, I like just kind of moving them about a little bit, depending on the location. I don't know if you necessarily need to do that. It makes me feel better, that's for sure.
Well, Scott, I'm gonna use Greg's comment as to go back to the issue of canoeing. And I have long wondered if the lack of rotation of cigars can contribute to that because of the uneven distribution of humidity. So you have portions of your cigar that are getting well humidified while other portions are not. And I've never seen anybody write anything on that, but I certainly, you know, anecdotally have kind of wondered as I've had problems and then focused on where that cigar had been in my humidor. The question of rotating in a cabinet humidor is a different one. You know, I've got my electronic humidifier in there, but I keep a lot of Brevita packs in there as well, just sort of to give me a reality check and to make sure I've got humidification going on. But the reality is you have, at least in my cabinet humidor, you have boxes sitting on top of boxes. And frankly, I don't know how well any of that's really getting humidified or losing humidification, but I do, I move them anyway. And, we'll do the same thing that I've done with my 100 and 200 count humidors, which is every 3 months, you know, you move them around and so you're spreading that humidification better among the cigars. But I'll usually take things you know, I'll take sticks out of the boxes and put them in a regular humidification area before I'm going to smoke them anyway at this point.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's pretty much the standard rule, right? And it depends on every factor you just mentioned. I try to make it a standard practice to at least every 3 to 4 months just move stuff around. I have drawers and I have trays, and I'll switch stuff around, making sure that, you know, there's an even flow. Even though I have two units in my cabinet, be it in a box or be it loose sticks, I want to make sure that, you know, I get the right humidification levels, and I'm looking at my hygrometer, making sure I'm getting the right reading. And, you know, you just got to pay attention to it. If you don't, man, you're going to have, you know, one or two sticks at the very least that are going to be dried out, and then you got to try to recover, you know, salvage those.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not the worst. If that happens to you, just for listeners out there, if that happens to you and you find that you've got stuff on the upper portion of your humidor and it seems a little drier than stuff at the bottom, you know, just do a rotation. You know, your cigar is not dead. You know, it's had some humidification. It's not like it's sat in an oven. So, you know, if you feel them a little dry, give them, I'd say, probably about 2 weeks at, you know, another level of the humidor where you find you're getting humidification. Again, I am a big advocate of checking the humidification levels of each level of your humidor. It's really eye-opening when you see, you know, because I know the new Cigar Oasis 2.0, or is that 3.0,
Luke? 3.0.
3.0.
Thank you. The 3.0 doesn't have the separate fan. So unlike the 2.0 that had a pair of small fans that you could put in various locations throughout your wall or larger humidor and circulate some of that humidity, the 3.0 says that it's a more powerful fan, so all that humidification will shoot up, but there's no guarantee because, of course, depending on how stuffed your humidor is, how much airflow, how much too much or too little, you may find that you might get something a little drier. You might be at 72 near your bottom, but you're only sitting at 67, which isn't the worst thing on earth. You know, even if it's down to like 65, you're doing great.
Yeah.
You know, Scott, the reason I use the Bavita packs is exactly that. It's kind of my canary in the mine, right?
Yes.
If my humidity is constant, those Bavita packs should stay pretty constant. Yeah. If they're starting to dry out, I've got an issue in that area of my humidor, and I Absolutely. Really need to either address that or make sure I'm not using that area for storing cigars.
That's a great point, Bob.
Yeah, it is. That's a good tip. Everybody taking notes out there?
I hope so.
Sarah, we haven't heard from you. I mean, I forget, how many cigars do you have? I mean, I know you don't have a huge humidor, but I know you've got a stock somewhere.
I thought we don't talk about my humidor right now.
No, we're not talking about the dead one that we're going to try to bring back from the dead. Okay. That's going to be the Lazarus episode.
Good night. Y'all have no idea. So right now, if I were to guess, I'd probably have, because I threw away a bulk of them, and that's another story we can cover doing that. I used to probably have about 200, and now I think I have maybe 50, maybe 50 or 60. So, okay. But at one time I did have a fair number.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, where are you storing those these days? Just in plastic and a humidification pack, or?
No, those are in a glass humidor.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Very, very nice.
It was a very nice jerry-rigged sealed Rubbermaid container.
Yeah.
And the water beads that will expand, and I know a lot of people use those. But that tipped over into the cigars that were in there, and there was no saving that at all, which was sad, because I had some really nice cigars.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it was. Thankfully they weren't so rare that I can't get any more of them, but it's still a sad day when you have to resort to that.
I hear you. Well, let's go around the room real quick and let's just talk about, you know, the smoke we started smoking at the beginning of the podcast. Greg, how's that smoke coming along?
So if you remember from the beginning, it was a Bahia Insignia, and my normal cheat sheet of being able to rattle off what everything is inside that cigar is not identifying this cigar. So it's a wonderful cigar. It's been very smooth, very consistent the whole way through. No tunneling, no canoeing, thank God. it's got great subtle, it's a subtle pepper undertone. I think it would fit well in with Bob too. A little bit of hint of cocoa in it, and a very floral note. I really like this one. In fact, it might be one that, as long as our regular proprietor has them, it might be one that I start adding in my rotation.
Nice, nice. Sarah, how about yours?
I am just about to take the last sip of my Irish coffee, and it was delicious. I probably should have added a little more whiskey, but I could do that later.
You weren't smoking this episode?
No, I was inside. Oh, I don't know if you were able to hear me. So in the whole, with the shelter in place that California put in, and then the working from home, I pretty much packed a bag of my stuff and then went and worked from home from my boyfriend's house. And so I don't have my cigars with me.
Well, you know, you're in Rockland. It's not like
right.
Tobacco Republic is that far away. So no right. excuses there.
No. So soon I will have to make the drive and see someone we know and get a couple cigars.
How about you, Lou? How's that smoke coming along?
Hey, you know, it's the Island Gym. Everyone out of the box has been a consistent hit. There's been no issues there. It's a, you know, as you notice, this is a, wow, I need water.
No dying on us.
I'm dying on you, man.
No.
I was talking and I inhaled some smoke. Oh, God. Okay, that's better. But, you know, it has a shaggy foot, which is good because you get a flavor for the cigar without the wrapper on the shaggy. And I like the flavor because what I got off it was everything that they said. I got the cocoa. I got an earthiness, a little pepper. I don't know about this mountain pine because I didn't taste that. And I didn't smell that, but it's got a sweet, creamy finish, which adds to the smoothness of it. And, you know, it's a good go-to cigar. I know every time I go, you know, into the lounge, you know, I have to keep myself from, you know, just smoking that because it's one of those that you can smoke, you know, every day. It goes great with anything that you're drinking, by the way, too. But, yeah, I'm about 2.25 inches from finishing it, and I'll probably smoke it to the nub.
Why would you not? Hey, Bob.
Absolutely.
What do you smoke? How's your smoke coming along?
Well, you know, the
I think Bob froze on us.
Oh, that's a nice still.
I know.
Looks like he's enjoying Minnesota.
Yeah, he is.
I was gonna say that's a very
ooh.
Yeah.
It looks a little cold in Minnesota right now.
The pitfalls of social distancing. Just real quick, I'll just say this much. This is going to probably be the last social distancing episode. We'll be back doing like live, but of course respecting social distancing on the next one. So we won't be doing these remote ones. So for those of you who, have stuck with us and, you know, it's, you know, not as clear as it usually is, don't worry, that'll come back on next show. Now, back to the topic at hand, I'm smoking, of course, the Ashton VSG, All Dominican Binder and Filler, the Corona, a delightful smoke, very light at the beginning. You don't get any sweet at all, and it's a little darker, so it might be intimidating to some, but it doesn't smoke like a Maduro. It's rich, it's smooth, but it doesn't just punch you in the face, which is one of the nice things I like about it. But as you get to the ending, it gets a little stronger. But like I say, it's not imposing. It's still a nice, smooth, delightful smoke. And of course, the Glendronach is the Glendronach, and it is quite lovely.
So, Craig, are you still with us?
That's good, man.
I'm not sure.
Craig is on mute. I don't know about his video.
Oh, there he is.
So, Craig,
well, I'm still here. I had to shut the video off because I kept disconnecting.
Ah, okay. How was your how'd your Illusion finish out for you?
My Limitada.
I'm sorry, Limitada. Wrong cigar.
I'm halfway through a different cigar, and don't ask me what this one is because I didn't have a label. I have no idea.
Ah, the old grab bag.
How's a mystery cigar?
That is a good, Craig. Yeah.
It's is all that right. A good, okay. It's a good mystery smoke, then.
Yeah, it's smokable. That's for sure.
It'll do in a pinch.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
Well, I think it's about that time to close the loop, as they say. Any parting shots or thoughts? Lou, how about you?
Well, you know, I was fortunate to get some feedback verbally from a couple of listeners. And like you said, Scott, I just want to echo a great, you know, gratitude and thank everyone for just, you know, dialing in or however they're listening to us on whatever social media platform they're using. We appreciate it. The listener base is growing. I want to again give a shout out to Anthony Washington with Kamalu Cigars and Daptian because, you know, they're up and coming, you know, at least Kamalu is an up and coming brand. Glad that we were able to get them on. And thank you guys. You know, the teamwork makes the dream work. And so, you know, we're still plugging along, making sure that we can work through some of the glitches that everybody has. It's not unique to us. I'm just glad that we're together doing what we're doing, which is having a love for the leaf and sharing our experience with others on what we go through so they don't feel like they're the only ones, and hopefully continue to provide some helpful tips on things that they can work through with some of the trials and tribulations they may have with a cigar. I'm just glad to be a part of this. And again, thank everybody for just listening in and continue to listen in and send us, you know, we ask for this all the time. I'm just going to say it again. Drop us a line, reach out. If there's a topic that we haven't touched on yet and you want to hear something about it, let us know. We'll definitely add it to our speaking points and we'll put that out for you.
Thank you, Lou. Sarah, how about you? Any parting thoughts?
You know, it's been an interesting time for all of us, and I haven't had a chance to be a part of Beyond the Humidor for the last several episodes, and it was really nice chatting with you and connecting with yet another wonderful human in the industry, and I'm really excited to see that relationship grow and new relationships grow, even while we're in this very weird time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. Greg, any parting thoughts?
Greg or Craig?
Greg.
Oh, okay. So, you know, Craig. I want to... Everybody's pretty much said everything. You know, thank you to our team for what you all are doing to put this broadcast together. I want to echo with Lewis. If you guys, our listeners, want to hear something, drop us a line. We have several ways to reach us. We'd love to hear from you and love to know what you want us to talk about. It's our pleasure to discuss your topics. I also want to extend a thank you. I know Anthony left us, but a thank you to Anthony Washington with Kamalu Cigars. I greatly appreciate that he found some time in his busy schedule to talk to us and look forward to continuing that relationship with him.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Craig, you still with us, my friend?
Oh, I haven't gone anywhere.
All right. What are your parting thoughts, my friend?
Well, other than the fact that it's a beautiful day, I'm sitting here on a porch smoking a cigar. I mean, I ain't got no parting thoughts other than thank you and have a good afternoon.
Well, keep it simple, Craig. I love it.
Smoke on, brother. Smoke on. And I believe. Go ahead.
Hey, Scott, I'm sorry. Before you close us out, I just want to give the listeners a little something just to whet their appetite. You know, as we start to venture out and reach out to more people in the industry, there's more to come, folks. You're going to be surprised with some of the lineup of guests that we have. And I just, you know, if you really want to hear a little bit more from the people that you know and some that you don't, you stay tuned, because we got a lot more in store for you. We're nowhere near done. We're just moving this train up the track, and we got a lot of ground to cover and a lot more guests that are interesting for us and for you, I would assume, that you're going to love to hear from. So just stay tuned, guys.
Amen, Reverend.
Well, let me just say, because you can't thank folks enough, I want to thank our listeners. I want to thank our guest, Anthony Washington of Kamalu Cigars. I look forward to speaking to you more and hopefully getting you on another episode so we can speak some more as brothers and sisters of the Leaf to discuss our love of cigars and our passion for this wonderful thing that we do. Well, looks like my smoke's down to the nub and my scotch glass is empty, so I think it's about that time. I want to thank our audience, and on behalf of Greg, Craig, Sarah, Lewis, Bob, and myself, and Anthony Washington, thank you for listening. Check us out at LumaCigarCartel.com. We are also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, so don't be a stranger. Drop us a line and let us know you guys are out there. I'm Scott Robinson, and from all of us here at Beyond the Humidor, we look forward to chatting with you on our next episode. Until then, stay healthy, stay safe, take care, and good smoke, good drink, and good life.